Meeting to order. This morning we have Amanda Baker, who's going to give our invocation. Amanda?
Let us pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given to us and the opportunities and blessed us with. We pray for wisdom and guidance at this Board of Regents meeting to help steer Western Kentucky University in a direction that will impact all the lives influenced by this university in a positive manner. We pray for the safety and well-being of the students and faculty here. We pray for the decisions made today will further encourage the learning and growth of the students at WKU. Lord, we pray for the individuals and the time and effort they spend to help WKU succeed. We thank you for the hard work President Ransdell has put into making Western Kentucky University what it is today. Please continue to guide those in charge of the future of WKU, and may the decisions they make for the university be pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and forgiveness, and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he had made for the forgiveness of our sins. May we all live a life pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Amanda.
Mr. Chair, I would also like to ask that we hold the family of Trina Lawson in our thoughts and prayers. A student, mother of three, non-traditional student that we lost on our Glasgow campus this week, or last Friday, a week ago today, and the memorial service and for her on the Glasgow campus was yesterday afternoon, and the funeral was yesterday morning. Trina Lawson, a student we lost last week.
If everyone pause and bow their head for a second. Thank you, Mr. Pratt. Let me tell you a little bit about Amanda. Amanda is a sophomore honor student from Dallas, Texas. She's a member of the Medallion Honor Society. Her major is pre-nursing. Her minor is Spanish. And in full disclosure, she's my wife's great niece. Amanda's parents are distinguished graduates of Western, and glad to have you.
Good job, Amanda.
Thank you.
Secretary Dennison, roll call.
Mr. Corey Dodds.
Present.
Ms. Cynthia Harris.
Present.
Mr. Freddie Higdon.
Present.
Mr. Jim Johnson.
Present.
Mr. James Kennedy.
Present.
Dr. Patricia Minter.
Present.
Mr. David Porter.
Present.
Mr. John Ridley.
Present.
Mr. Rob Wilkie. Mr. Larry Zelke.
We have a quorum. We're able to conduct business. Before we move to approval of minutes, I'd like to sidetrack from the agenda for just a second and ask our university registrar, Frieda Eglinton, to come forward. And last month represented a milestone in the history of this university. And Frieda has been on the sideline or in the trenches or in the ring the whole time. And so, Frieda, please.
Good morning. In 1976, I shared an office in Leatherby Administration Building with a young man from Louisville who demonstrated his passion as we both traveled the state of Kentucky recruiting high school students. 5 years later, while I was on vacation in Dallas, and that young man was serving as Director of Alumni Affairs at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, we had lunch together. And over lunch, we talked about our careers and our career goals. And he explained that his plan over the next few years was to move to different positions, gain the experiences that will enable him to be a viable candidate for the president of Western Kentucky University. That was 1981. In 1997, I was asked to serve on the Presidential Search Committee, and I was very honored to tell that search committee what Gary Ransdell had shared with me in 1981, that it was his personal goal to establish himself as a candidate, demonstrate the passion he has had for this institution. Today, we recognize 15 years of exemplary service. Board Chair Higdon has asked that I present this resolution. Whereas Dr. Gary A. Ramsdell has served as president of Western Kentucky University for 15 years, from September 1997 to present. And whereas President Ramsdell has worked diligently and devoted exceptional time and energy to the deliberations of Western Kentucky University Board of Regents. And whereas he has played a significant role in the transformation of Western Kentucky University to become a leading American university with international reach. And whereas his able leadership, wise counsel, sound business acumen, and faithful service is unrivaled. And whereas his loyal service and dedication to his responsibilities have made momentous and lasting contributions to benefit the students, faculty, and staff of the university. And whereas President Ramsdell has given unselfishly of his time, energies, and resources to make Western Kentucky University exceptional. And whereas such leadership and dedicated efforts are deserving of special recognition. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University at a meeting on October 26, 2012, does hereby express its appreciation to President Gary A. Ramsdell for his many contributions and for his extraordinary Hilltopper enthusiasm, and extend best personal wishes for continued success as President of the University. Be it further resolved that this resolution be spread upon the minutes and a copy thereof be presented to President Ramsdell as an expression of the esteem in which he is held by members of the board. Ordered Bowling Green, Kentucky, this 26th day of October, year of our Lord, 2012.
How about that? My fellow board regent members, I would entertain by acclamation a standing consent to the adoption of this resolution.
So moved.
Thank you very much. Wow, I didn't see that one coming. Thank you. How special.
Well, wow. We try to get a few things past you. Now, that's...
You did that.
I won't tell you who the...
Now, I do have to acknowledge that when Frieda and I shared that office, and it was two desks with a cup with a little semi-petition. We had two field representatives in the Office of University School Relations. She had everything west of I-65, and I had everything east of I-65. So I had the road trips in that deal. But that was an incredible beginning to what's been just an unbelievable career for me and for Frieda. And Frieda certainly has served this university in incredible ways since those days in the mid-70s. So this is really special, and it's also special that Frieda would read it. So thank you all very, very, very much. That's terrific.
Again, Mr. President, thank you, and Frieda, thank you for a very distinguished presentation this morning.
I do know that nobody signed this,
that's
so you know.
They're still negotiating.
Still out. I got you.
Yeah. I see how the morning goes.
Okay.
Back to the agenda. We have approval of minutes. They were previously distributed to the regents, dated July 27, 2012. Entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve. Second.
Motion by Mr. Kennedy, seconded by Mr. Dodds. Any other discussion? All in favor?
This is to approve the amended version?
Yes, that you have in front of you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Unanimously approved. We next move to academic affairs. Dr. Dennison.
I think Gordon has given his duties, Dr. Lee, this morning.
So. Regent Dennison, before we begin the academic affairs report, I would like to take the liberty of acknowledging one very important matter that is at the core of our academic affairs of this institution. and make sure that this board is aware that Corey Dodds has been invited to Washington, D.C. As a finalist for his interview for a Mitchell Scholarship. The Mitchell Scholarship is the equivalent of a Rhodes Scholarship in England. The Mitchell Scholarship is what Ireland has for their premier academic honor. And only 12 students will be selected from the United States. And Corey just had an interview this week in which he was very honored to be among 40 semifinalists. And he is now one of 12, or a finalist for, he's one of 20 students to be interviewed for those 12 scholarships. And it's an incredible honor. And he'll be interviewed at the Irish Embassy over a two-day period. Coming up shortly, and that is just a terrific honor for Corey Dodds and this university. Congratulations, Corey.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, that's great. We'd like to talk about our action items, which is approval of emeritus faculty appointments. And over to you.
Thank you, Dr. Dennison. Academic Affairs has, I guess, four items this morning, one for action and three informational items. The first is the approval of the recommendation from the faculty for three emeritus appointments, Gay Perkins, Thad Cruz, and Karen Schneider. And just a few words about each of these folks who contributed a great deal to the institution in their time here. Gay joined the Department of Library and Public Services in 1988. And for much of her time here, she was the library liaison with the Gordon Ford College of Business. Throughout her career here, she was very active in supporting scholarship at the institution. She was one of the founding board members for the Western Scholar. She also served as editor of the Western Scholar for a time. And she received the University Libraries Award for her own research and creative activity in 2001. So Gay's been an important part of the research agenda at this institution for a long time. Thad Cruz joined what was then the Department of Physical Education and Recreation in 1974. He was instrumental in establishing an exercise science concentration in the department. And over a long period of time, Thad held a number of leadership roles in professional organizations in his discipline, some at the state level, presidency at the state level, and at the regional level, president of Southeastern organizations. And closer to home, between 2004 and 2007, Thad served as as department head of what's now the Department of Kinesiology, Recreation, and Sport. And I'm also told that he's a pretty fair golfer. The third person is Karen Schneider. Karen Schneider built a truly outstanding career over 20 years here at WKU. Perhaps most significantly, she won the University Teaching Award. She also published a very important book on World War II women writers with Indiana University Press. And for the last 9 years, my favorite part of her time here, she was an absolutely crackerjack head of the English department. One of the largest and one of the most central departments on this campus. And in her spare time, she helped to build a film major, she helped to build a popular culture major, and she offered some of our first courses in science fiction. So I am proud on behalf of the faculty in these departments to recommend all three of these retired faculty members for emeritus status.
Is there any other comments about this appointment?
Fine group of faculty made major contributions to this institution, and I'm proud to move for approval.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Any questions? Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we'll go on to our information items.
The first information item is an honorary degrees policy. This has been approved by both the Council of Academic Deans and by the University Senate. I think the University Senate at its September meeting kind of formalizes a process that we've had in place for a while. It's presented to you all as an information item because, as you can see, the awarding of any honorary degrees by the institution has to be approved by the Board of Regents. So we bring this forward as an information item. In terms of the process, the part that you will be playing in this process as this goes forward. second information item.
Well, one word about honorary degrees. Most of you followed that, although with some new board members, some that have been on the board for maybe just a couple of years. We haven't done many honorary degrees lately. We used to do them a bit more frequently than we do now when we had a single commencement ceremony. With our split commencement ceremonies now in December with a Friday and soon to be two on Saturday, and in May with Friday night and three on Saturday, it becomes a bit more awkward to do an honorary degree candidate, because then you have to choose which ceremony. And so I would presume we would match up the colleges that are in a given ceremony with the particular credentials.
Yes.
or discipline of the recipient. And we try to keep our ceremonies at 2 hours or less for each one. And so we've been a bit more diligent in assessing honorary degree candidates in the last few years. This gives us a format and a framework to move forward. But it would, I still think that honorary degree recipients will be probably less frequent than more frequent in the future, and we'll be very selective. But given our commencement dynamics, we want to be pretty thoughtful in when we choose to do that. And add the ceremony for an honorary degree recipient into the mix for a given ceremony.
Second item is information item is a report on theses and dissertations. The university obviously has a strong emphasis on scholarship and creative activity. And an important component of that is the research work that's done by our graduate students. And the interim dean of graduate studies, Kelly Madole, has a report for you all this morning on theses and dissertations. So, Kelly?
I'll be brief, but what I want to show you is a piece of paper that represents probably the most exciting piece of paper that a graduate student will ever see, and that's the signature page of their thesis. And when this document is signed, it means that they have achieved something that I think is pretty extraordinary. And one of the reasons I think this is really something to celebrate is that I think we think of education often as the student is a recipient of knowledge. But I think what you have with the thesis is now you see that the student is actually creating knowledge. They're creating something new that nobody has done before. And that's what I think is really exciting about it. That graph that I showed you shows the number of theses and dissertations that have been produced over the last 10 years submitted to graduate studies. As you can see, there's been a really nice upward trend. And so I think we're really being really stronger participants in this scholarly activity of creating knowledge and allowing our students the opportunity to be participants in that activity. This represents a huge amount of work, not only for the student, but for the faculty member who is working with them one-on-one, helping them in this process. And so, like I said, I really think this represents not just a celebration of the student's work, but also of the tremendous amount of work that faculty are doing in this process. As the interim dean, I have the really wonderful privilege of signing off on all the theses, and there's a lot of them that I wish I had the time to sit down and read thoroughly and think about. I don't have that opportunity. There's so many of them. But I thought that I would just take four or five of them just to give you a range of the amazing things that the students here are working on. I picked out a few titles that I thought were particularly interesting. Well, or at least some of them I don't understand at all. But now imagine that you're one of them using serious games to induce identification with outgroups. Protective factors and life outcomes of youth exposed to community violence, autism spectrum disorder, sensory needs in the workplace, removal of heavy metals from drinking water using modified limestone media, a normal truncated skewed Laplace model in stochastic frontier analysis, and the time course of the effects of growth hormone during zebrafish auditory hair cell regeneration. So, I mean, that's just a few, but I just want to give a sense of the range of work that students are doing here, the tremendous amount of knowledge that we're creating here. And I'm really happy to have been able to present that and to show you the amount of work that's done.
Thank you, Kelly, and thank you for your work as interim dean. I've noticed a remarkable improvement in efficiency and capacity in our graduate studies, and that's a tribute to your leadership over the last several months. I will suggest to the board that as our Doctor of Education degree program comes fully online with graduating students from the EDD program, that our number of dissertations with that will grow dramatically. And that's as much a symptom of our transformation as anything one could assess, because faculty, particularly in the College of Education, serving on dissertation committees has not been our norm historically, but it is now, and that's been a significant adjustment for faculty in the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences, but other colleges as well, because those dissertations often involve faculty in other colleges, and we've had to learn how to spread the wealth, if you will, of faculty engaged on dissertation committees. As the proliferation of dissertations in that degree program has evolved just over the last year or two. So congratulations, Sam, to you and your faculty and to all the deans and your faculties for helping us grow into that new dimension as a university. And then when you combine that with all the things that are unfolding through our Honors College with a theses from Honors College students and what's taking place in the sciences and liberal arts and business. It's an amazing part of our transformation as an institution, and that's why this kind of information is important for the board to have a sense of. Thank you.
And final information item from Academic Affairs is a report on enrollment, and Brian Meredith.
Thank you, Dean Lee. Good morning. We've had an interesting ride here in the recent weeks with enrollment, but what's floating around to you, the enrollment report, looks a little different than the one which enrollment management has shared with you in the past, and primarily because yesterday was the census date for us, where the enrollment's frozen and cleaned up and then sent on to CPE in the coming days. But there are a lot of numbers on this page. It's very similar to in the past reports that you've seen, but the most glaring statement I need to make is that overall total enrollment is up for fall 2012, and that is a good place to be. We are at 21,124 for this fall class. As you look at the report, I know you're not used to seeing it in this layout, but on the right side it breaks down the standard classification from freshmen all the way through. The first-time freshmen are maintaining. We still have the sophomore bubble that we've talked with you about that the retention initiatives are working with. Juniors, seniors, they are all up this year, and that's the trend that's been processing forward. High school students, again, that's dual credit. Those are some higher numbers, up 237. Our outreach with Dr. Beth Lawless and dual credit has done a great job with area high schools and putting WKU classes in the high schools and working there. Not only is that good and the right thing to do, but it also helps us recruit long term. Transfers, KCTCS transfers are up. International students are up 13%, which is a pretty big leap. And also, the one thing I would say with our current, that we did with our current students over the last, as we moved into the summer, enrollment was kind of moving forward at a modest pace of current and new students. And we recognized that as we got into August, first part of September, and working with business and finance, the bursar's office, student financial assistance, financial aid and scholarship, enrollment management, and other areas, we worked probably more aggressively than we have in past years with our current students as we approached the drop for non-payment date, was sitting down one-on-one with each of these students, and that is no small feat. The time and human resource commitment to that was pretty substantial across divisions, and working out creative ways, recognizing that financing the college experience is no small issue, and working really individually with them, hearing their needs, balancing that with financial aid, scholarship, those sort of things, payment plans, and really I think have gotten us to a better place. Normally, on any average fall, we usually drop for non-payment somewhere in the neighborhood of around 500 students. That's not untypical. And this year we reinstated, after that process, well over 336 students, which is, and a good many of those, our offices, collective offices in enrollment management, business finance, met with those students one-on-one. So very pleased with where we are with this 21-124. We'll continue to move forward and work on some of the issues with retention with the sophomore class and such. Dr. Joelle Carter joined us this August. She's out actually speaking on behalf of WKU today, or I would bring her in and introduce you, and she's got lots of retention initiatives she's working on. We'll bring her forward at future meetings to talk with you about that, but in addressing the sophomore class and some of these other issues there. But all in all, feel pretty good about this report, and there's a good many, like I say, the aggressive move this past year. I don't know that we've done that and hit it as hard as we have, and that I think has really produced some real positive results for us.
Brian, my compliment, and there are several on your staff that I want to particularly acknowledge, but the efforts, particularly in the last 3 or 4 weeks when our numbers looked like they were going to be down, and we dropped how many over the last 3 or 4 weeks for non-payment before we reinstated
approximately
students?
About 500. 900 total. 500 is the average on you. 900
dropped
total
for non-payment.
Yes.
And we reinstated how many of those by working out payment plans and working with them rather than just saying goodbye to them?
336.
I mean, that's a remarkable effort that we were able to help individuals that had no way to pay or could not pay or did not pay, and then we reinstated 336 of them that will more than likely salvage the academic career for those students and allow them to return in the spring. And in the past, we would likely have lost all of those students.
Yes.
So that's a remarkable new behavior that we are embracing as part of our overall retention efforts.
And each of their stories were individual, and we pretty much sat down with all of them and worked out plans that would work for them, and we didn't give away the farm in doing that, but we still, you know, made sure they stayed in school and maintained, and it's and again, it was across lines of different divisions did that.
And it also took a revenue profile that had our attention, yes, 2 or 3, 4 weeks ago, and now has put that back into a almost a break-even context in terms of the budget projection from last year to this year. I particularly want to acknowledge Katie Birchfield, who works at the front desk for enrollment management and was receiving these students one-on-one. Terrific work. Cindy Burnett directs our financial aid office. Blenda Hickenbotham, our bursar. Beth Lavis, who directs our Division of Extended Learning and Outreach. Frieda Eckleton, our registrar. And Sharon Hunter, who's at the heart of our retention efforts. These individuals have worked exceedingly hard and well, particularly over the last several weeks, to turn these numbers from what would have been some concern and could have been in a negative context into a positive context for us, and enabling at least 336 students to continue their college career.
And not only will it drive the enrollment, but this fall to spring retention rates will be positively affected, and lots of other things. And the class profile is a strong profile this year. Looks very similar to the past. You know, you're looking average 22 ACT, 3.14, 3.15 GPA, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it's looks pretty good. And the not to underestimate the dual credit piece, because that's not only the right thing to do in the high schools, but it's a recruitment tool for us. Dr. Lawless's folks put together some really great stuff, and one, we were listening to the high schools. They wanted a career and exploration course, and put that together for them. They need that. The students need that. It's the right thing to do, and that'll just continue to grow. Put that together this fall, and we'll just add to that over time.
I think the board should particularly note five categories on this sheet. That one speaks to our diversity, and one speaks to what Dr. Madola was talking about with graduate studies. With graduate studies, we're up 24 in doctoral students. Again, continuing a major transformational dynamic at this university to grow a number of doctoral students. But if you look over in that ethnicity column and you look at African-American students, Hispanic, non-resident alien, and two or more races, all four of those categories are up significantly. which again continues to bring significant diversity to our student body and a diverse richness to the cultural definition of the WKU student. Very important to us, and that's a to me that's a very important sign in this enrollment report as we continue to pursue diversity in our student body. So my compliments to everybody involved in those categories in particular.
I just had a couple of questions. The line that in this report is now high school is what the line was called dual credit in the report we previously
yes.
got, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll translate that. You mentioned that KCTCS transfers are up by how much? And are these people coming in as people with two-year degrees or chunk, you know, what different chunks of credit are they bringing with them?
I don't know that IRS had time to break it out. It's up, we were at 454 last fall and we're at 459, so it's up five
okay.
students.
Okay.
But overall, four and two-year transfers are looking pretty strong. We froze the data late last night. They'll have time to crunch it and pursue further and get, you know, more details for you later in the
okay.
coming days.
Yeah, because I just wanted to get a sense of how many of those students are coming in having done their general education at a KCTCS campus versus how many people are coming in with a full 2 years just to finish and then finishing out in a major here.
I don't have numbers, but my sense is in working with the joint admissions and working with KCTCS, more and more coming in with
right.
the associate's degree in hand, and looking at those scholarship numbers as well, because they have to have the associate's degree in hand. Those are all looking
okay.
pretty positive.
Okay.
With seven KCTCS campuses
right.
with which we now have a joint admissions agreement, we hope that we'll be driving up the numbers of transfer students coming in with a completed associate's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then be in a position to pursue a baccalaureate degree going right into their major areas of study.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. Anything else?
All right.
Thank
Thanks
you
very
all.
Much.
Thank
job.
You.
Good job, Brian. Thank you.
Concludes academic affairs. We'll next turn to